You know, there is one more announcement, and we always have our congregational meeting in February. That's going to happen on the first Sunday of February. So on February 4th, we will have a congregational meeting right after the service here in the sanctuary, and we need to give 2 weeks' notice before the meeting. So that's going to be coming up as well. Let us read the text for today, which is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the famous love chapter. Let's read that together. Read it for us. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Right now we are in a series called Being Equipped for Kingdom Work. From God we have received the command to love God and to love our neighbors. We have received the great commission to go to the ends of the earth to share the good news. We are to build God's kingdom by making disciples of Jesus and demonstrating God's justice and mercy to the world. Now that is a tall order. That's a daunting task that cannot be accomplished with our power. So we have to be equipped and empowered by God to do God's work. And the first message was about being equipped and empowered by God's word. The second was about being equipped by prayer. The third by worship, and today I'm going to focus on being equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, how does the Holy Spirit empower His people to do God's work? He does so in many ways. For example, in Acts, we see the Holy Spirit giving boldness to God's people to share the good news. And in Romans, Paul writes that it is the Spirit that enables us to call God our Father, Abba Father, and that the Spirit testifies with our spirits that we are indeed God's children. So the Holy Spirit empowers us by giving an assurance that we are beloved children of God. But today I want to focus on three things that the Holy Spirit supplies us to enable us for God's work. And they are found in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. First, my first point is that the Holy Spirit equips us with the spiritual gifts. Now, the common name for 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, and it is often understood as a general hymn to love. And it's often used as a text for wedding services. But it's not really a hymn to love, and it's not, the context is not marriage, but the church. More specifically, the context is about the use of spiritual gifts in the life of the church. In the preceding chapter, chapter 12, Paul talks about the various spiritual gifts, and he compares the church to a body with many different parts. We are all given at least one gift when we are born physically. I notice, you know, here in the Silicon Valley, there's a lot of engineers, and, you know, in elementary or junior high schools, a lot of kids are really, really good at math. I think, you know, that gene comes from their dads who are engineers or also good at math. So that gene was given to them in their physical birth. But spiritual gifts are given to us when we are born spiritually, or when we are born again, as Jesus says. We are born spiritually when we repent of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So when we put our trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us and gives us a new birth with the life of Jesus Christ. And we receive at least one spiritual gift. Now, the first thing that comes to our mind when we hear the word spiritual gift is the gift of tongues. And that has always been controversial throughout church history. But that is only just one gift among many, many gifts of the Spirit. And most spiritual gifts are not that spectacular. In the previous chapter, chapter 12, Paul mentions teaching, administration, and even helping others as a spiritual gift. That doesn't sound too spectacular. And in other letters, Paul mentions encouragement, generosity, leadership, hospitality, acts of mercy or service. He mentions those as spiritual gifts. And the list, most scholars and pastors agree, is not exhaustive. There are many other gifts that are not mentioned in the Bible, and a lot of them do not seem that spiritual. Spiritual gifts are various service abilities to build up the church, to build up God's people. And that is what Paul emphasizes again and again in his letter to Corinthians. He says that the gifts were meant for the common good of the church. He encourages the Corinthians to excel in gifts that build up the body. In chapter 14, Paul even says that the gift of prophecy is greater than the gift of tongues because prophecy edifies the whole church while the tongue edifies only the one that's doing the speech. The problem in the Corinthian church was that people were not using the gifts for the church, but for themselves. They did not use the gifts to build up the church, but to distinguish themselves as the more spiritual, as superior Christians. And such attitude divided the church and hurt other members. Now, how do we know what spiritual gifts we have? Most pastors would agree that you don't really know until you try out some ministries. You actually get involved in serving others, serving the church. And it doesn't even have to be a ministry within the church. It could be service outside the church. You may even have a gift of evangelism, but you won't know until you go out and try to share the good news. And we also need feedback from the body. We need feedback from other believers. When I was at a church in Michigan doing a Bible study about the spiritual gift, one church member, one man said, "I really have no idea what my gifts are. I wish someone would tell me." And that's true. You know, we need the feedback from other members. We need affirmation from other members to know what kinds of gifts we have. I think Asian Americans are not very good at affirming and telling others, you know, what their gifts are. I think the Caucasians are much better at affirming others. We need to work on it a little bit. But, you know, we can receive even feedback from outside the church when you serve people outside the church. People, even non-believers, may tell you, oh, wow, you're very good at this. You're natural at this. I had that kind of experience when I was working at a hospital. It was like a chaplain training that was required by our presbytery in Michigan. And I had to visit a lot of patients in each room. And several of them who are non-Christians told me, hey, you seem like a natural chaplain, and I was only in training. Maybe I should go into chaplaincy. So let's not be stingy with our affirmations of other people's gifts. My second point is that the Holy Spirit uses other believers to equip and empower us. We know that God has the power to, you know, achieve world mission by himself. God doesn't really have to use us to do mission. God can use angels to spread the good news. But God chooses to work with us. God uses people to share the good news. And God uses believers to equip and empower other believers. And that's why God gave us the church. Now, did you ever hear a person say, I don't really need the church, all I need is Jesus? Wow, that sounds very spiritual, right? I mean, wow, you know, that person seems really spiritual, but that is not a spiritual person. And that's just like a person Paul mentions in chapter 12. He says, in referring to the body, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Of course, the eye needs the hand. You know, just, you know, you get some sand in the eye, and the eye would really, really need the hand, right? Paul does not say to the eye, all you need is Jesus. Paul does not say to the foot, all you need is Jesus. He says, no, you also need each other. You need other believers. You need other brothers and sisters to pray for you, to encourage you, to keep you accountable. And he says, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. They are absolutely needed for the life of the church. The body of Christ was meant to be interdependent. So there are many one another verses in the Bible, a lot of them, just a few. It says, bear one another's burden. Encourage and build each other up. Love one another. Serve one another. Forgive each other as Christ forgave you. Wash each other's feet. Confess sins to each other. Pray for each other. Comfort each other. Spur each other for love and good deeds. The fellowship of believers are meant to equip and empower us to do kingdom work. The Holy Spirit uses God's word, prayer, and worship, but the Spirit also likes to use people to empower us and mold us into his image. Third, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to love other people. When we look at how Paul talks about love in today's chapter, it is mixed with a lot of languages about spiritual gifts. He mentions the gifts of tongues, prophecy, faith, and giving body to the poor, you know, generosity or selfless acts. But he says all these would mean nothing if they are not done out of love. And that was the problem that Paul saw in the Corinthian church. Some people have received very visible spiritual gifts, and they consider themselves superior to other members, and they look down on others who did not have the same gifts. And so to those people, Paul says in chapter 4, who made you superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not? Paul was saying, you know, the gifts of tongues, knowledge, prophecies are all gifts of grace from the Holy Spirit. And you have received them. You did not make them or produce them on your own. Then why boast as if you did? When the haughty Corinthians flaunted their gifts to boast of themselves, it caused the weaker members of the body to feel despised and even ostracized from the body of Christ because they did not have the same experience. That is why Paul says that the gifts are very diverse. Having less visible gifts does not mean that that member is not as important. The weaker members are indispensable and should be honored even more. And that is the way of love. That is mature Christianity. When you're flaunting your gifts to boast and make you feel more important than others, you are not really acting in love. The exercise of the gifts must be governed by love to build God's people. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Though the gifts are, spiritual gifts are, you know, valuable and gifts from God, they are transitory. They weren't meant to last forever. Prophecies, tongues, and knowledge will cease when Christ comes back. But love is permanent, eternal. It never fails. So Paul is not really belittling the gifts. He affirms them as good things, and he says, you know, we should desire them, we should pray for them. You know, although we do receive gifts in our spiritual birth, we can even pray and ask for more of the spiritual gifts. But Paul wants the church members to use them not for their self-interest, but for the common good of the church. It was meant to be used for other people. It was meant to be used out of love for brothers and sisters. Having spectacular gifts or amazing spiritual experience doesn't make you a mature Christian. A mature Christian acts in the way of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And in Galatians, Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And these describe the character of Jesus Christ. And he says, against such things there is no law. Because Jesus Christ fulfilled all the requirements of the law, which is loving God and loving neighbor, there would be no need for law for people who really love God and others. And we need to be equipped with the gifts, with the spiritual gifts, but more than the gifts, we need to be equipped with the character of Jesus Christ. To do kingdom work, we need the spiritual gifts, but more importantly, we need the power to love other people. Now, how do we receive this power to love from the Spirit? Jesus says in John chapter 7, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And John says living water is the Holy Spirit. So the way to be filled and to be filled with love is to believe in Jesus and in his word. If we want to become a more loving person, We can pray for the transforming work of the Spirit, and we also look to Jesus in His Word and meditate on His promises. Then the Spirit and His fruit of love will overflow from our hearts. When I was serving at a church in Michigan, I went to Nicaragua on a mission trip with a medical mission team. And the missionary in Nicaragua was named Matthew Chun, and he ran a shelter for homeless men and a small clinic with the help of a few doctors. In his early years in Nicaragua, the only ministry he did was the shelter for homeless men. And after about a year and a half, he faced a crisis in his ministry. And the problem didn't come from the outside. The problem came from within his heart. It was some kind of a burnt out. One day he went to the homeless shelter and he just didn't like what he saw. He didn't like the old building, the old shelter. He didn't like the smell of food. And he saw the people, waiting online, and he just didn't like the men there. He just didn't want to see them. And so next day he didn't go because he didn't want to see these people. He not only disliked them, but he felt like he hated these people. He despised these homeless men, many of whom are recovering drug addicts. So he didn't go to the shelter for a whole week. He didn't go to the shelter for a whole month. During the time, he thought about giving up that ministry and coming back to the States. He felt like he was a big failure. And he sought God by praying and reading through the New Testament. And during his weeks of reading and praying, God showed Matthew how much he was loved despite his failure. And he experienced God's unconditional love in a new way. And then God showed him that God loves these homeless men just as much as he loves Matthew. And after that realization, Matthew was able to go back to the shelter with a new attitude and a new heart. And he continued the ministry that he started. And then God allowed him to add the clinic for health ministry. And later he partnered with local churches to serve even more people. And he stayed there for more than a decade. And now God's leading him to another ministry in Cuba. The power Matthew received to go back to the shelter was the power to love. And the Holy Spirit assured him of his love despite his failure and gave him the power to love people who are not very lovable. And that is the power that you and I need to serve God and to serve others. We need to cooperate with the Spirit of God to do His work. Let us desire the spiritual gifts and also affirm the gifts that we see in others. Let us not give up meeting with other believers, but continue to encourage and build each other up. Let us seek Jesus in His Word so that we can receive the power to love other people. Let us pray. Let's just spend some time thinking about how we can apply the message for today.